basketball. UMBC makes history in Charlotte. Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. Midcourt launches the shot. Oh, almost right in. Duke is the king of the dance. 2010. Got it. 10 seconds. Unbelievable.
The Mixed Picks Sports Show.
It is the Mixed Picks Sports Show. A little different today. It's still me. Hi, I'm Rob. Steve Mickelson from Mixed Picks. 2Ks and Mix. 2Ks and Picks. MixedPicks.com. Off for the rest of the week as he deals with the March Madness. Danny's back from Tech to You. How you doing, Danny?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I did notice that after many, many, many days of having bragging rights, you have overtaken me in our bracket. We'll spend a lot more time on March Madness tomorrow. Gary's going to come back and join us. We have our little bracket. By the way, none of us should be bragging about our
brackets.
That's
right. Yeah, it's hard to even be happy about it.
But you have retaken first place over me, so we'll talk about that a little bit more. And Kyle from Rad Radio is joining us this morning as well. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Rob.
So let's start with the obvious, can we? Which is the Kings and whatever this abortion was that I watched last night as they played. Now, Steve has been eyeing the Dallas Mavericks, and then he took his eye off them. He said he was high on the Mavericks like a month ago, and then like 2 weeks ago he said, I think there's something there. And then sure enough, Dallas and Sacramento played last night. Sacramento got the first 5 points of the game. By halftime, the Mavericks are up 58-53, and by the end of the third quarter, it's 96-76. It ultimately winds up Mavericks 132-96. And Kyle, I know you're a lifelong big-time Kings fan, and occasionally we text about this like a week ago or so when they were blown. I think it might have been the Wizards game.
It was the Wizards game, yeah. You texted me right as soon as it ended.
You texted back, and I know you're not like literally serious, but there's an element of it feels like you're like, do they even want to make the playoffs, let alone become part of this game last night was a disaster. So I thought, you know, let's just lean heavily on Kyle for and your Kingsism after last year's exciting run.
Yeah, after 20 years.
Right? And literal reason to believe they had a chance to go as deep as they did and even deeper. What you're watching now, where's your head at with the Kings, whether it's about last night, overall, moving forward, etc.?
I mean, my love for the Kings is never going to change, but it is a little difficult watching them do so well in certain games. Like, they can knock out... not Utah, the other one. What are they called?
How recently?
Damn.
Look at like a big team, like a
yeah.
In other words, they can play up to certain teams, but then they play down to the
Denver,
Wizards.
Denver, Colorado.
Oh yeah, so yeah, they're right. They
beat Denver
game.
Almost every time they play them. So
yeah, in fact, they did this season. They're undefeated against the Nuggets.
Yeah, they're in what, third place right now? The Nuggets are so. It's really interesting.
The Nuggets are in first.
Oh, they're in first in their division.
Nuggets are 51-21 with a half-game lead over OKC.
Yeah. So I don't see how we can beat them but then choke when it comes to Dallas Mavericks, the Wizards, or even the Pelicans. We can't beat them at all either.
Okay, so and this is in Sacramento. This is not a game the Kings can lose. This is what Steve keeps talking about. You can't lose these games. Now, I know the Mavericks aren't Utah. They're not Portland. They're even. They're now even with the Kings. This is the other thing, is the Mavericks were games behind the Kings. And now they are now, they don't have the exact same record, but the Mavericks are a game up on the Kings. You can't lose these games.
You can't lose these games. And I think the Mavericks really pose a tough matchup problem for the Kings, whereas the Nuggets have a tougher time stopping Fox from penetrating and getting those little teardrops in the paint. I think the Mavericks have Kyrie Irving who can apply some pressure to him.
Which is not great news since the Kings are off until Friday when, in a weird scheduling anomaly for the NBA, the exact same game happens. The Mavericks play at Sacramento again on Friday.
Yeah, here's my hope. I'm hoping the Mavericks find some ways to entertain themselves over the next couple days in Sacramento, come in feeling a little under the weather. Here on Friday. That does happen, by the way, when the Nuggets were in town. I have a close friend who was actually organizing a party for the Denver Nuggets. They were here for two games within like 3 days and put together a big party for them. And they do have a little fun when they're on the road.
They do. And the thing, and it varies city by city by city. And Sacramento, are you a lifer? for Sacramento?
I'm not. My dad's from Chicago, so I grew up watching Jordan as a Bulls fan.
So you came to Sacramento when?
Well, I mean, I've been in Sacramento my whole life. Okay, I just haven't been a Kings fan my whole life.
I'm sorry. I meant, yeah. So you're from Sacramento. So you and Kyle both from Sacramento forever. Yeah. I've been here 25 years. Sacramento's come a long way. It's grown up, lots of improvements, much, but it is still Sacramento. It's not, yeah. You're in Dallas, you're in New Orleans.
Right.
And so a lot of times when teams are in, and for three full days now, the Mavericks have to entertain themselves. And in a lot of ways, liquor is one of the only ways they can do it. And it, you're right. They can overdo it, et cetera. The problem is the Kings have 10 games left. 10 games left in the season. 8 of them are against teams with winning records. Now, to your theory, Kyle, will they play up to the fact that they got to play Dallas again? They got to play the Clippers, the Knicks, the best team in the NBA, the Celtics. They got to play Oklahoma City. They got to play New Orleans. They got to play Phoenix. And there's your 8 winners out of 10. But they only have to deal with Utah and Brooklyn. Oh, and Portland too. So I guess 8 out of 11 if I miscounted there somewhere. But they can't be losing these games.
No, they can't. They can't lose. It's crunch time, and they have to get above that sixth place position because they're in seventh now because the Mavericks just overtook them for the sixth place division. Yep. And the little lines right there for cutoffs for the playoffs.
And then you get into play-in games and all that. And if the Mavericks win again on Friday, it's a 2-game lead.
Yep. And the Suns are right on their behind, and so are the Lakers. I know they're, 2 games behind?
So you've got...
And they're pushing hard.
You've got the Mavericks in the sixth spot with a game lead over the Kings. The Suns are tied, actually, technically, mm-hmm. with the Kings right now. But you also can't forget about two other teams. The Lakers are only 2 games behind the Kings. The Warriors are yeah. 4.5 games behind the Kings. But again, there's a dozen games left in the season, and the Warriors are the team that you, Danny, keep saying if they get to the playoffs, they scare you, quote quote.
They do. I mean, they can shoot the ball, and anytime you can shoot the ball like that, you have a chance to win. You can get hot and go on a run.
And when you're playing short series, and when you have the star power, and you cannot discount the experience, people. Sometimes confuse experience with age and they're getting old and all that other crap.
Well, yeah, and I think when you're in the league, as long as people like Steph Curry have been in the league, you just kind of get a little lazy sometimes during the regular season, but then you really turn it up for the playoffs.
So let's go back to it. So the Kings have a 2-game lead over the Lakers. Kings are at 7, Lakers are at 9. Last night, the Lakers needed a double overtime, but they did the job. They beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee 128-124.
That was impressive.
It is impressive.
And they did without LeBron.
AD played 52 minutes in that game.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. But that
can they do that throughout the course of a series? Can he sustain that?
Yeah.
It's a 1-game sample, I get, or it's a 1-night sample. But compare these two performances. What the Kings did at home against the Mavericks, they were never in it. They couldn't come back. They lost by, almost 35. Meanwhile, you've got the Lakers on the road without LeBron, and they beat a much better team. Mm-hmm. Those are the two differences in March when it comes down to the
that's
NBA.
That's the thing about the Lakers is they know when to turn it on, too. I feel like they're kind of like the Kings. Like, they underplay certain teams, and then when they need to in the clutch time decisions, they win.
I've seen the Lakers cruise for 3 quarters and only play the fourth and win.
Right. Exactly. And again, experience, talent, all those other things. Now we go to the Warriors, and they're further back. They got a lot more work to do.
And the Rockets are creeping in on them now.
They are. Uh-oh. Okay, but the Warriors last night, they beat the Heat. No easy task, and they did it by 20 points, 113-92. That does put the Warriors in the 10th spot. They're 13.5 back. Yeah, the Rockets are only a game behind them. The Warriors are so streaky and unpredictable, you just can't ignore these. Last night, by the way, they only had 4 games, and they were all really good games.
Every single one of them.
They were all games that mattered to watch. The other one was OKC and the Pelicans.
Yeah,
Thunder 119 over 112 over the Pelicans. So 4 great games in the NBA last night. But the overall picture as we head down the road, because so Kyle, you brought up you got to get the Kings into the 6th position. And if they don't, then you get into the playoff thing and the play-in thing and all of that. And you got the same thing going on in the East as well, because the Miami Heat just fell out the sixth position. See, and I think, so for me in the East, the Heat are Danny's Warriors. I think the Heat are dangerous if they get to the playoffs.
Very dangerous.
I think Spoelstra and the way he runs the team, and I think the talent, et cetera, but they do have to actually get in there. Plus, I am not a believer in the Cavaliers. I don't know what my problem is. People keep trying to talk me into it. I just don't think Cleveland is as good as they are. I hear a lot of people say the Boston Celtics can have the best record, but they're not the best team. I think we talked about that maybe last week. Because who do you have as the best team in the NBA?
Bucks.
You have the Bucks, right? And you're sticking with that.
I'm sticking with it, yeah.
Even after last night losing in double overtime at home to the Lakers.
Yes.
You're sticking with the Bucks.
Absolutely.
Now, Kyle, you're mainly a Kings fan, but you're an NBA fan as well, correct?
Yes.
So who do you have as the best team?
Overall, I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are the scary team. Or even the Oklahoma Thunder, man. They're creeping up there. I didn't think they were even going to do that good this year, and here we are.
Do you think the Timberwolves are, like, scary as in the best team in the league, or you just know it's a bad matchup for the Kings?
It's a bad matchup for the Kings. I don't really know the East Coast too well. I know the Boston Celtics are sitting there at 57-15, and the Bucks are at 46-26. But the Bucks are going through a lot of changes, too. Like, they get the new coaching staff, and then they also have Damian Lillard got brought on as well. So
if you bring the Kings into the playoffs, let's get them into the playoffs. We start then having you talk about teams that are dangerous for the Kings or who they can take out. Now, Kyle, you make a good point. They should have a hell of a lot of confidence if they got to play or when they play the Nuggets in the playoffs. But there's some problem teams in there as well for the Kings, whether it's the Pelicans, the Clippers, who have suddenly gotten really hot or cold.
Well, we just beat them, so.
And you just brought up Minnesota, and then there's always OKC. I mean, the Kings would have a lot to go through that right now it's hard to have a lot of confidence that of how far they can get if they get into that. Those are some solid teams that are playing really well, and the Kings just aren't yet.
But they have played good against certain teams as well. Like, I mean, we did beat Boston. We can beat the Denver Nuggets consistently, and we have beaten Oklahoma City as well. Go ahead.
They just can't come in and lay eggs like that, you know, getting down 30. If they can keep games close and stay in it, I think Fox can carry them through some of those, you know, final 2 minutes of the game.
Well, and they come out last night looking like they're the champs. They come out, they score the first five, they look great, and then suddenly Dallas just takes over.
They gave up completely in the third and fourth quarter. I think they only scored 20 points in the fourth quarter. Like, they didn't even really try.
This has been a complaint of yours I've heard on and off the air and via text. You feel like there's a lack of either, what is it, focus, effort? Is it coaching? Because
no,
you
I don't.
Talk a lot about you feel like they give up.
I do feel like they give up. I feel like when they're hot and they're taking the lead, they have that confidence, and they're able to kind of close out the game. But when they start to lose and they get down by a couple points, and then all of a sudden they can't play that aggressive game where they try to catch back up, if they're not able to catch up again, they just kind of go, forget it. We'll take our time and we'll wait for the next game. And I feel like that's what happened last night, especially in the third quarter. It looked like lack of defense completely. I felt like the Dallas Mavericks were just scoring on almost every opportunity they got.
So that's ironic. So we just had, what was it, two nights ago, where the Atlanta Hawks came back from a 30-point deficit to beat the best team in the NBA, the Celtics. And we've already documented it's already settled. This will be the season where the most 20-point deficits will be overcome in the NBA, in the history of the NBA. Yeah. And yet your theory is that with the Kings, when they get down at a certain point, they become like beaten stepchildren and just say, we can't do it.
Yeah, and it depends, because sometimes basketball is that kind of game. It's a game of runs. Right, so I mean, 20 points really isn't that bad of a lowdown.
Not this year.
No, but with the Kings especially, like, they do give up quite a bit. You can see it. I mean, I watched them since 1998-1999, and I feel like I'm always getting teased. Like, they're doing good. They're doing good. They're on a hot streak, and then they can't close at the end. They're like the biggest choke artists of the NBA.
I felt like, and it's always harder, obviously, watching on TV, but I felt like the air was really sucking out of Golden 1 last night.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that third quarter, that's one of the worst third quarters I've seen a team play in a long time.
It was awful.
By the Kings. And it did feel to me like the fans were restless.
Yeah, I mean, tons of unforced turnovers, and the players can feel that too when the fans get restless.
Mm-hmm.
We got this email, rad@radradio.com. It is from Sean. Sports fans, notorious for conspiracy theories. My question to before I read Sean's email is my answer is always the same thing. Why do you even watch then? If this is where you're at, maybe Sean doesn't. His point is this: the NBA will do whatever they have to do to make sure the Lakers will make the playoffs. They beat the Pacers 150-145 on Sunday, and the FT free throw differential was LA 38-43. It's just a joke how bad they want LeBron in the playoffs. Now, I will grant you from a business standpoint, of course, every league, all four of them, prefer major markets and major stars to be in major games. That's just good business. You lose me when you start saying that, especially when you have to look down the tree of how many people have to be involved to ensure that a team in particular gets all the way in to the playoffs. Yes, they want LeBron and the Lakers to get in there. How many people know? I mean, the refs got to know. Is the other team flopping? I mean, how far do we take this?
I think it's a fun conspiracy if you're going to believe in one. But you're right. It's not happening.
I mean, they might get in, but it's not happening because the NBA is going to make it happen. This one is from Aya. Says the Kings need to do some trades if they want to win the playoffs. They need a big guy. Sabonis is not enough. What are you growling at?
I don't know. Sabonis has had a great record. I mean, his triple doubles are off the charts right now. He just took the lead for the highest amount in the Kings franchise history. So he's doing fine. And they have JaVale McGee, who's huge too. They can utilize him. Alex Len's big. So I don't think the big guy is really the problem. I think the problem is we don't make our shots. We don't get enough shots in the bucket. Like every time they play, they consistently miss.
Go ahead.
I agree that the big man isn't the problem, but I do think they need a wing defender.
We also got this email, rad@radradio.com. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to jump to this one because we were just talking about it, from Kevin, who says, could the Kings use more size? I feel that Dallas was just a little longer and a lot more size than Sacramento has, but you say no.
Well, I mean, every team can use more size.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think they just need a better perimeter defense.
You wouldn't put in the top three problems the Kings have as size.
No.
Neither one of you. All right. Adam says, Rob, I've noticed that when the Kings struggle, Malik Monk has an off game. Yeah. I've noticed that he has been off for about the last 2 weeks since he scored 39 against the team. I can't recall at the moment, but he has had two stinkers in the Kings' last two losses. Is Monk the linchpin?
What do you mean by linchpin exactly?
So what Adam is implying, whether he means to or not, is that if Monk has an off game, the Kings are done. So that makes him the linchpin. Doesn't make him the best player on the team, but it makes him like maybe the driver, the driving force, the thing of if we don't have Monk, DeAndre Fox and others aren't enough. Whereas usually I think most people would look at the Kings and go, well, actually, it's more like Fox or Sabonis.
I don't know what's going on. They put Keon Ellison in replace of Kevin Herter's spot to start, and I think Malik Monk should have been the starter because he comes in off the bench and he kind of helps relieve and he gets the momentum going. But I don't know if he can do that all the time, especially with harder teams. So I think it'd be better if they put Malik Monk in the starting position. I think he'd take it a little more and he'd play more aggressively.
I can buy into Monk being the linchpin. In fact, you know, when Monk leads the team in scoring, they've won four out of their last five. It's nice to have that point differential coming off the bench. So, yeah, I can buy into that.
By the way, the guy with the conspiracy theory that the NBA is going to find a way to get LeBron and the Lakers into the playoffs, I'm going to bring that back up in our next segment because I want to challenge Danny on something that's kind of specific to something that we were talking about last week. I did have some fun with you, Danny, this morning promoting you were going to be on and that you had your lock of the week last week was the Kings Wizards. But you explained last time you were on that you come from a long lineage of sports betting and having a lot of knowledge about it, and you pay attention to it. You used to bet more. You don't have as much time to do so as well. But there's a couple games that caught my eye tonight. I don't know how much you've had a chance to look at them. But Golden State, who we've been talking about, inconsistent. Don't know, but they are there. They are at Orlando. Anything there?
Not in that game. I do have a few picks, but
that one, you're staying away from that one. What about the Clippers at the Sixers? And there's a couple of schizophrenic teams.
Everything I like tonight is actually in that Rockets-Thunder game.
Why is that?
Well, the Thunder had a tough battle last night with the Pelicans. This is the second night of a back-to-back. Rockets are on a heater. They're getting 7.5 points, depending on where you look for it. I just I think it's a good spot to take the points. I also like a couple prop bets in that game. Jabari Smith Jr. over 8.5 rebounds. In his last three matchups against the Thunder, he had 18, 17, and 13. So I think that's a low number given his history against them. They're pretty small in the front court. And then I like, actually, there is one more prop bet I like in another game, which happens to be the Wizards and the Nets. And it's also a rebounding prop. Rishon Holmes, he's had 14 rebounds in three straight games. I like his prop over 7.5.
How far into this do you get when you start looking at this stuff? Are we talking minutes, hours? Analytics, stats, how intuition? I mean, when you're looking at these things and you're trying to decide whether it's you're coming on this show and you want to say something or you're going to make a bet, how far into this do you really get?
I don't run my own data analysis, but if I'm into it heavily, entertaining myself, I'll go hours down the rabbit hole every single night, you know, like an hour or two, reading up Action Network covers. I like to triangulate data from different sites. I watch different sports shows. You know, I'll call Steve up once in a while and ask his opinion on something. So
how much do things like I'm always fascinated about historical things that have nothing to do with the present, and yet people look at them. I'll use the NFL as an example. This is not a real statistic, but let's just say the Chiefs have lost the last 12 games they've played at home against the Detroit Lions. Let's just make that up. And so because of that, the Detroit Lions are who you pick. And I'm like, wait a minute, we're going back because this is an AFC-NFC matchup I'm making up out of nowhere, meaning we're going back 30 years. What does that have to do with today? Am I wrong to think that's irrelevant?
No, I've always hated that. I don't get it. Maybe somebody better at this than me would be able to tell you why that could be important, but I think it's like really misleading even.
Yeah, and I mean, unless you're claiming it's getting into the heads of the people historically, I don't buy it. But like I said, I want to talk about this Lakers conspiracy because it goes to something else that's going on in the news with sports betting, which is a big thing with Danny. I got to talk to Kyle about his San Francisco Giants as well. We're a day away from Major League Baseball starting and see how he's feeling about them. And he's a Cowboy fan too. And there's some Cowboy news we got to talk about also coming up.
Mix Picks, the Mix Picks Sports Show.
Let's go!
All right, we got this email, rad@radradio.com. We were talking about the Kings and such. Robert wrote in and said, I just tuned in. Not sure if you guys mentioned this, but how is no one mentioning Keegan Murray? He is so inconsistent. It feels like just before everyone is going to realize he's trash, he'll have a big game. He's just not adding enough help for Fox, Sabonis, and Monk. The Kings should have traded him before the league realizes he's trash and his stock goes down. I didn't hear Keegan Murray's name mentioned. Is he that bad?
I don't think he's that bad because when he's hot, he's hot. He is a clutch player in the moments. But you're right. If he has an off night, he can't nail in those buckets sometimes, and it is detrimental because they rely on him a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if you've been to many Kings games or not, but when he does get hot too, it really gets the crowd into the game because they'll yell the, you know, Keegan Murray.
So the thing I wanted to throw at you, Danny, is this, because you have this background in sports betting. It goes back to your family, things like that. You're clearly into it and such. And unless you're under a rock, we all know the Shohei Ohtani thing that's going on right now. And it feels more and more to most of us, and I know like-minded people hang out with like-minded people, like there's a lot more to this story. Steve and I really broke it down yesterday, how Ohtani is claiming that he had no idea that $500,000 withdrawals were coming out of his account. I don't care that he's making $50 million a year. He had no idea, and he has no idea that there's any gambling going on. Now Steve Mickelson's theory is, and I agree with him, and I think Danny mentioned to me that he does, is Major League Baseball will do everything it can to protect Shohei. He's the $700 million man. He's the face of the league. It's the first week of the season. This is the last thing Major League Baseball wants. But one of Steve's big concerns across all of the sports has been things like all these weird calls, whether they're referee calls, whether they're choices to kick field goals for no reason that suddenly change the spread or change the over-under, things like that. The U.S. Supreme Court cleared the way for legalized sport betting in 2018. And when they did that, doomsdayers warned that the proliferation of wagering options, legal and illegal, would bring an inevitable wave of scandal to sports. Mm. And then you start looking at the history of it. Just since this year, the beginning of March, betting-related controversies have swept through sports. We had a former Jacksonville Jaguars employee sentenced to 6.5 years in prison after pleading guilty to stealing $22 million from the team and wagering it on FanDuel and DraftKings. We've got the Shohei Ohtani story. We now know that the Toronto Raptors forward Jonte Porter, who you've probably never heard of, is under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of prop betting irregularities over the past several months. Since that 2018 Supreme Court ruling, sports betting has exploded. It climbed to $11 billion last year, which is a 45% increase from the previous year. I mean, this thing is just going to continue to double and double and double and double and double. In June of 2023, the NFL suspended three members of the Detroit Lions indefinitely for betting on NFL games. So the headline, if you will, for ESPN is, are sports betting scandals proving cynics right? There's a lot of them. Now, you've got a lot more people involved. You put people's money on the line. They get a lot more emotionally invested. You can't take away human error. There are going to be bad calls. This is all a bad look, but what does this say to you about sports betting with all of this?
Well, I think it's been happening for a very long time, and you're just hearing about it more now because it's absolutely everywhere. I think one of the biggest problems I see with it is actually at the collegiate level with prop bets for college kids, because, I mean, the temptation is just hanging right in front of them, and they know they can influence the outcome of that prop bet. Probably having to bet against themselves if they're going to do that. And I do think that type of greed does set in. You know, I said the conspiracy is fun, thinking about the league wanting certain things to happen. I think that's highly unlikely, but individual players becoming tempted to get themselves out of a jam, I think that is happening, has always happened, and you're just hearing about it a lot more now.
So the Jonte Porter story is really interesting. The one game that they focused on, I forget the date of it, it was earlier in March or whatever, was the allegation is he had laid against himself on everything. Over, under, shots made, rebounds, yeah. And it was like 4 minutes into the game.
And then he gets sick.
He leaves the game because of a previous eye injury. Yeah. And so, of course, all of his unders hit. And I guess there's other things they're looking at. Things like that that just smell to high heaven are the things that – now, again, I wasn't joking. Most sports fans, let alone NBA fans, had never heard of Jonte Porter before this story. But on the other side, we got Shohei Ohtani in Major League Baseball. These are the things that make a lot of people go – and the thing is, the way I see it, it's not like we're going to stop betting. This is America. If you haven't noticed, we've been gambling since we became a country, legally or illegally. We're going to keep doing it, but we're going to scream louder, and this is going to get uglier and uglier.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. It drives professional sports in America. There is just a ton of money into it. One of the problems I see, though, is that a lot of people are getting started younger and younger, and they don't really understand how it works in your brain with these dopamine triggers. And so, you know, I think I saw something where – FanDuel and DraftKings were being allowed to advertise on college campuses around the country.
No way.
So these kids are growing up with this in their pocket.
Yeah.
And they can now, you can now do it through DraftKings and FanDuel, and you're not even necessarily placing the normal bet like you and I would think of one, you know, laying some points. They have it under the guise of, you know, fantasy sports where you can bet over or unders on props, and that counts as fantasy. So I think they should keep it away from college campuses.
You and I, you two are much younger than I am, but we can all remember a time a decade ago where it was inconceivable that any of these leagues would be anywhere near Las Vegas. And now we know by 2028, they're going to be a four-league city. They're going to have an NBA team. Adam Silver's all but said they're going to get an expansion team. We know they're going to have the A's, and they already have the Golden Knights, and they already have the Raiders. Because the sports have recognized what you said. It's what drives sports in the United States. But what Steve's argument is, when Steve Mickelson is with us, is that's why you have to have more transparency and better answers, which is what's not happening. And this is what could continue to boil this up and really make this ugly.
You do need more transparency. Speaking of transparency, I'd love to see Ohtani's bookies. You know, they usually use an app to place these bets digitally. I mean, it's very rare that you call in anymore. I would love to see that online account and then look at how he's laying those large bets off in the other direction.
I mean, if sports betting was legal in California, which is where we're based, I mean, if I could on my phone right now place bets, I would do it, even though I know all this is going on, because I'm an American. That's just how we're built. And I'm trying to figure out where this heads, you know, where this goes, because there's so much. I know, Kyle, you've been paying attention to the Ohtani story. I don't know where you land on it, but it's getting uglier and uglier by the day.
Yeah, I think what's the saying that Officer Pat uses? We only catch the stupid ones.
Yes,
I think there's a lot right. more. I think it's so prevalent in the sports industry because you know it's so easy to do now that only the stupid ones are getting caught. And I think there needs to be more repercussions. But, I mean, they're going to – what's the punishment going to be for Ohtani? You're saying that they just want to sweep it under the rug. They don't want anything to happen because he has such a good image. But what happens to the other players who do this kind of thing? Like, what is the punishment for that?
Well,
is it super strict?
And how far does it go? This would, how far it goes is what determines the punishment. And before I answer that question, I'll go to one of the points Steve made yesterday, which is, so wait a minute, Ohtani can get away with this. Why can't I? Doing the same thing, you know, figuring out a way to do this. Now, in terms of the punishment, the question becomes the old Watergate question. What did he know and when did he know it? It's not, what we know he's claiming he knows is not believable, that all this money is coming out of his account and he doesn't know why, etc. The claim is the interpreter who's been fired never bet on baseball. If he ever did, that takes it to another level. If Ohtani knew he was betting on baseball, we're getting closer to Pete Rose level. And this is where, yes, what is the punishment and the deterrent? And we're talking about this is the problem. There's two sides to this. We're talking players. Then you've got the refs who are making these weird calls that everybody is it. And Steve and I disagree constantly on this. Steve's answer is more technology, and my answer is, wait a minute. We've added in all this technology, and they still get it wrong. Because there are still human beings who look at replays. The announcers themselves are saying, no way they overturn this call. Boom, they overturn the call. And so everybody says that the thing is rigged. That's my biggest concern is I don't see the answer. And I'm a guy who likes to have an answer usually, and I don't got one.
I don't see the answer to that one either. When you're doing instant replay, you should get it right. It looks pretty obvious on replay almost every time.
And yet, so many times, the call is not what is so obvious.
Yeah, so now I understand why there's a whole TikTok thing on, rigged NFL, NBA.
Yeah,
all of
it's all stage. It's entertainment. It's not really a sport anymore.
So now all sports are WWE.
That's what a lot of people think that. And
that number is growing by a lot and quickly.
That opinion,
yeah. It's all over TikTok.
I mean, okay. Let me ask you this way then. Do any of the four big sports care considering how profitable the WWE is? It's not like we're not still all packing the WWE events.
Yeah, it's just
we're not betting on them.
It's disappointing, though.
Sure, beyond disappointing, it is absolutely. I just wonder. I mean, is that what we're doing? We're just throwing our hands up and going, eh?
I don't think they're doing it. If they are, I don't think they care unless they get caught.
They being the leagues,
but I don't think they're doing that. I mean, you're right. It would take an enormous amount of people to keep the secret.
And so many involved in the tree and somebody's going to come out and say, wait a minute. And, you know, not everything's a movie. You can't murder everyone who wants to come out and say, hey, I have a statement to make here.
That's true. Now back to where is this all headed with betting in America? I think it has a shelf life in general. And I think that gets triggered by artificial intelligence getting to the point where it can accurately predict way too much. Just takes the fun out of it.
And then what, people rely on it too much? Or
just the edge, the Vegas edge goes away because they have all the solid data right now and the true, you know, supercomputers establishing these lines. I think people will always make bets on both sides, but if you had an AI good enough at predicting professional sports, you could get to where you might win.
That's interesting.
And never lose.
By the way, so Steve Mickelson's prediction is, in terms of the Ohtani thing, and I think this is still his prediction, even though this is getting uglier and uglier, the interpreter will take the fall entirely. He will be taken care of for the rest of his life for his silence, and Ohtani will be predicted. That's what he thinks will happen, not what should happen. You said, Danny, you think Major League Baseball will protect, will do everything it can to protect Ohtani. Where do you think this lands?
Yeah, I think it falls on the interpreter as well. I don't think they can – I think they have to give him a slap on the wrist, and him being Ohtani, I mean –
like what, a fine?
I don't know. They really should hit him in the wallet really hard for this. It's got to be a big fine, though. Like something that really eats into that contract.
What about suspension?
And sends a message.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if they can afford suspension. I mean, they maybe a small suspension, but I mean, you've got young kids losing interest in baseball because it's already so slow and they're getting these quick dopamine hits on their phone. They're more actively engaged in their digital worlds. They're not playing Little League as
they
much
even
anymore.
Have the pitch count now.
So the
right,
the sport feels like it's somewhat dying. It's us who feel like it's an American pastime that keep it alive. Losing someone like Ohtani right now, who brings so much interest to the game worldwide, would just be a huge blow to the league.
And the big challenge for Major League Baseball will be if there's that other thing. If there's that other person, if there's that, like you say, does somebody provide, things leak all the time. Does somebody provide the app access or the access to these transfers that you're talking about to where it becomes public, to where it becomes impossible to exonerate Ohtani's involvement? That's where this gets really difficult for Major League Baseball.
I mean, I'd like to see it. I've got the popcorn ready.
Well, I want to see it just because it's the truth. And yes, it's fun. And you want to see how it all plays out. Absolutely.
Mix Picks, the Mix Picks Sports Show.
Let's go!
All right, we'll stay with baseball, but we'll go away from Shohei and we'll go to the actual on-the-field action. Yeah, technically the season started last week in South Korea, but it really starts tomorrow. If you do your power rankings, no matter where you go, everybody's got the same two teams at the tops. It's either the Braves or the Dodgers in terms of overall best team in the NBA. If you go down the list, you get right to halfway through all the teams to the San Francisco Giants. We've got Danny from Tech2U here with us, and we've got Kyle from Rad Radio, who is a San Francisco Giants fan. And the Giants had a rough offseason until they didn't. They did sign Younghoe Lee to a 6-year contract. He is being billed as the next Ichiro. Now imagine if he's 3/4 as good as Ichiro Suzuki. They got Jorge Soler, they got Jordan Hicks, they got Matt Chapman, they got Blake Snell most recently during spring training, which alters the expectations surrounding the Giants. I mean, if I was a Giants fan, I'm just an observer of the. I'm an A's fan. They're not a real Major League Baseball team. But I'm not a Giants hater. But as an observer up until a month ago, I would have been like, yeah, I mean, the Giants, they're a 500 team. Yeah. Now I'm wondering if they're a little – and the thing with you, Kyle, is you're the eternal optimist. I mean, in your head, you've still got the Kings winning the championship this year. I know you do.
after last night, I'm not sure about that.
Fair enough. but the Giants, from what you've seen, what you know, I mean, they're in the same division as the Dodgers. The Padres, they're nothing to laugh at. Where are you with the Giants?
The Giants, to be honest, it looks like it's a whole new team. It's a lot of guys I don't really know about. I feel like they're in a transition phase. And they have been for like the last 2-3 years. It's a lot of I'm used to like the Buster Posey's and why am I drawing a blank now?
All the way back to the. I mean, you're going back to the mini dynasty years, the 3 out of 5 years, the Baumgarten years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But doesn't it feel like with the offseason moves they've made, this is not we're just taking a step up here. We're contending this year.
Yeah. It looks like they're trying to. It says like looks like they're going to be like a lot of fun this year to watch. We'll see exactly what happens. I don't know how all that chemistry with all the new players is going to work out. We'll see.
Always a question.
I could be wrong. I think their season win total, and Steve would know this for sure, but I think it opened at 81 before their massive offseason. It ended up jumping up around 83.5. I see them winning probably like 86 to 88 games. And I think it's going to come down to a wild card race with like the Cubs and the Phillies. I don't see them winning the division. Dodgers are just too good. But I don't see the Dodgers clearing their season win total of like 103 either. Because this Ohtani thing just brings so much distraction.
Well, and the Dodgers are becoming you know, they're in that Philadelphia Eagles, Buffalo Bills, Dallas Cowboys era of you should be winning every time and you're not even getting there half the time sort of thing. They seem to find a way to blow it. But you mentioned the Phillies. The Phillies are one of those teams that a lot of people are saying they were great last year, obviously, got to the World Series. Are they going up or down this year? Are they as good or better this year?
I don't think they're as good as they were last year.
So the team I think, and this is not a unique position, I think the Baltimore Orioles could be a very scary team this year. With everything they did last year and everything they've got going, I think the Orioles could easily, and the Yankees season is not exactly starting out ideal with Garrett Cole not pitching until at least May. We don't even know the actual health of Aaron Judge. And I think the Orioles are I don't know that the Orioles are going to the World Series yet, but they're a team to watch as well.
I'd like to see the Orioles in it. It's nice seeing a new team in the postseason once in a while.
Which, since you mentioned a new team once in a while, I've been talking about this for weeks. Everybody is discounting the Texas Rangers, and I know how hard it is to repeat. I get it. But they're, like, at best in most power rankings, and even when you're if you're doing gambling in Vegas, they're, like, seventh or eighth most likely. To knock them down that far, and not much of the team has changed.
Yeah, it's definitely too far to knock them down. I actually like them to win their opener against my own team, the Cubs. They're throwing Eovaldi against Justin Steele. He forces a lot of ground balls, Eovaldi does. I like the Texas Rangers to get a win on opening day.
And then the Diamondbacks signed McCarthy yesterday, and a lot of people had the Diamondbacks in the top 10 already, and that bumped them up as well. I don't know how legit that is.
Tough to say. I didn't think the Diamondbacks were as good as they ended up last year. I think they just got hot at the right time.
So Major League Baseball, big kickoff tomorrow. Not kickoff, I get it. So we'll talk a lot more about that tomorrow and power rankings and where everybody's headed on tomorrow's show. I mentioned there's always NFL news. There's always something to talk about in the NFL. One of the teams, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, they're, oh, we're going for it this year, says Jerry Jones. And one of the big stories has been Dak Prescott, their quarterback, who's in the last year of his contract. And, you know, the smart money, the traditional money is always you work out a contract. You don't let him pull a Kirk Cousins and play without a contract in his final season. And for a variety of reasons, including how much value he could go up, the fact that on the other side, do you not believe in him? Is Dak not your franchise quarterback? And yesterday, the Cowboys and Dak Prescott confirmed they are prepared to play out the final year of the quarterback's contract. They have a mutual understanding that there will be no adjustment to his contract entering the 2024 season. It was assumed that they would take care of it with the salary cap and ultimately figure this out. Now imagine Dak goes out a decent year, or bet he's still Dak Prescott. Imagine free agency next year, because he's a full free agent if they don't re-sign him. Again, Kyle, you're a Dallas Cowboy fan. Is Dak Prescott your franchise quarterback? Is he your guy?
I don't like him.
You don't like him?
No, he's never been able to get us all the way there. He's also kind of a man of glass. He gets injured a lot.
You're ready to move on?
I'm ready to move on. I've been tired of Dak for a minute.
How does that play out? I mean, you're not going to move on to Trey Lance, who, you know, who they got from the Niners
no.
as a backup. They're going to have to trade a massive trade of some kind, or they're going to have to draft. You know, this is where the fun part, right? We got a few weeks. You get to do all these fun things. Here's where you really know where the Cowboys' head is at, because I do wonder if the Cowboys really believe in Dak Prescott. Come draft day. If the Cowboys trade way up and draft in that top four, and I mean, there's seven really good quarterbacks. There's three great ones, maybe four. Then you know. But they're also telling Dak, this is your last year. And that's where this would get really dicey. It's like, okay, we're bringing in, pick your guy, whoever they can get, to sit behind Dak Prescott, release Trey Lance, who cares? And I I don't see that happening, but that's where it gets dicey.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening either. I think Dak is their quarterback of the future. I know you don't like him, Kyle, but he is just the right piece to that puzzle. He's got chemistry built with the wide receiver core. I just don't see them moving away from Dak. I don't know the details of his contract or why they haven't re-signed him. That sounds silly to me. Unless he's just freeing up cap space for the year so they can go out and pick up another piece they think they really need this year. Because that team is very close.
They're built to win. I mean, that's the thing. That's why they're, you know, the Bills, the Eagles, they're this team that should be getting to the championship game at least every year, and they're not. There are a bunch of clauses in Dak's contract that we've gone through. He basically has the Cowboys over the barrel. He has all of the bargaining power in terms of you can't franchise me, I'm full free agent. This idea of playing with him with no changes other than this $5 million adjustment they made, which big deal, is a full capitulation by the Cowboys, and it's going to be interesting to see. Back to the Giants, we got an email, RAD@radradio.com, who says, the biggest addition to the Giants is the new manager, Bob Melvin. Kapler sucked, and Roberts on the Dodgers always shows his weakness in October. Yet Dave Roberts is not an impressive manager for the Dodgers. What you never know with these teams anymore is how much the manager is allowed to manage in baseball, with analytics and the general manager on the phone calling the dugout constantly and telling you. I mean, Bob Melvin managed the A's for, what, over a decade. He did the best he could. He's no Bruce Bochy, but I guess he is a step up. Or, I mean, could you brought up the chemistry of all these new names,
players, yeah.
All these new players. That's Bob Melvin's real job.
Is it really?
As the man, isn't it? To mesh them together.
That's got to be. I mean, he's new himself too. I mean, I guess they're gonna find their groove and see exactly how everything's gonna play out. I don't know, man. I don't know much about Bob Melvin, to be honest.
As much as I love data and love analytics and leveraging them where you can to make a product better, do so many things in life, keep it out of my sports. Like, to me, it's kind of ruined baseball. It's ruined basketball, all the shift stuff going on in baseball and the three-pointer in basketball. I think that might have happened no matter what, but I don't love it.
No, and my problem with it is, in our industry, in broadcasting, we use research. Same thing. You go out, you ask people, what music do you want to hear? What do you want to hear talked about, et cetera? It's a tool. You then use your intuition and your experience and say, no, I don't care that most people want to do this. But too much in baseball, more than most sports, well, more than any sports, but they're all starting to get too analytical. They're relying on the analytical data. And past is not always prologue in sports. Just because a guy has not hit the ball to the left side of the infield in his last 100 at-bats doesn't mean he's not going to do it the next time he's up.
Oh, that's very true. I think the manager's job, really, with all the data they leverage now, the manager's job really is just to keep the chemistry in the clubhouse.
Exactly. And one more email here from Robert about Ohtani. Wondering if there will be charges filed against the interpreter for, quote, stealing the money. Will he stick to the story if he's looking at doing time? A lot of that gets into jurisdictional stuff, though, right? I mean, because I'm not sure. I don't know that American authorities have any jurisdiction over him. And so, in other words, what he's saying is, will the interpreter sing? If somebody comes along and says, hey, interpreter, we're going to file charges against you for all this illegal betting, will he then say, okay, well, now that you're going to do that, let me just tell you how much Shohei really knew?
I don't think he spills, but it depends on what those charges are if they do file them. Didn't this all happen down in Los Angeles, though?
Did it? And that's a great question. Where did it actually physically happen? Because, yeah, now, and I did hear, actually, now that you bring that up, I don't know if it's the FBI. There is a federal agency that is looking into this. No one else is, but there is one federal agency that's on it. So that's an interesting possible scenario. Kyle, thanks for your debut performance.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. 23 hours from now, we're back. Steve won't be here. Danny will. Gary will join us, and Mix Picks will return.
Mix.
It puts the committee on notice. They made a mistake putting Virginia into the NCAA tournament. It's unwatchable basketball the way they played today on national TV.
On the run. It's a block. And he missed his shot.
Did they call a foul? With the game on the line, that is an incredible block that just got taken away from Sam.
Did we just see what we think we just saw?
Mix Picks Sports Show.